Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
As a pastor, as I talk with people, as I'm around people, I've just had this sensing in my heart that I want to talk a little bit about a different subject tonight, because I feel like people are too depleted. Just in talking and reading prayer requests and talking with people, people are depleted spiritually. And being depleted spiritually, it's typically because of two things. One, they're not nourishing themselves. And the other thing is they're not protecting their heart. And so I want to talk about that. I'm going to just touch on nourishing ourselves, because that's so important. But if you're here or you're watching online, you're actually nourishing yourself. And that makes a difference. But let's talk a little bit about that. But I want, especially tonight, to begin to focus on protecting our inner life, protecting our heart. And one of the reasons people are depleted, like I said, is they're not guarding their heart. And if you're not fed and you're not guarding your heart, you become a target. And life is tougher than it has to be. And so let's talk a little bit about that. I think the first thing we want to talk about is nourishing ourselves. We want to build on a strong foundation. Here's the foundation we want to stand on. This is very simple theology. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's actually extremely good theology right there. Jesus loves me and I know it because the Bible tells me that. But we want to start with God's love for us. And that becomes really the foundation. So it'd be good sometimes just to open, when you open your Bible and read it, because I know you're all reading Bible 365. And so when you open that, not if, when, and you read it, it'd be good to say, these are the words of the one who loves me. Because God does love you. And oftentimes we say that and it becomes part of church talk. And it's easy to skip past. Ephesians says this, Ephesians 5, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Christ has loved us and given himself for us. Whether you feel like it or not, whether it seems like it or not, you were loved. And Jesus gave his life for you, and he loves you. Paul said, "I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me." That becomes the foundation of what we do, is God's love for us in Jesus, and the fact that we have to believe in that love. God's love is something that we don't feel, but we believe. 1 John, the 4th chapter, says this. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." We've known and believed. And so it would, if you've ever felt like, and I've heard people express, I just don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel his love. And oftentimes we've equated love with feelings and equated love with, maybe warm emotions, and certainly nothing wrong with that. But God doesn't hug us. The Bible said God so loved the world that he didn't hug us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so the idea is just simply, and sometimes if it doesn't seem real to you, try this saying, "Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. And here's one too, and I love you. Thank you." And just saying that will actually encourage you and do something good for you. But believing that God loves us is foundational. Because if then when you begin to read his word and he says something in there and you go, ooh, and that kind of catches you, it's not punitive. It's the words of someone who loves us. And so everything that comes down through love. Y'all are quiet. You hear? Okay. All right. That's important as foundational. Remember, we're talking about being nourished. The other one are God's words to us. Proverbs 4th chapter. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." You say, "Alan, you talk a lot about reading your Bible." And yes, I do. And I intend to continue to talk about it, maybe even talk more about it. Because like I said, I run across too many people who are depleted. and they're depleted. And then when you sit down and talk to them, they're going through difficult times, having challenges, having problems, and you talk to them and you ask them, I just ask a simple question, do you read your Bible? And they're almost, well, I'm busy. I get it. Everyone's busy. But did you eat within the last 2 or 3 days? And most people will go, yeah, of course. Listen, if you can take time to eat because you know you need to nourish your body, because if you don't eat for a while, unless you're dieting, if you don't eat for a while, you can lose strength. And if you come in, someone comes dragging in, you're like, man, what's wrong with you? You're like, I haven't eaten in 2 weeks. People are like, bro, you need to eat. Well, I'm busy. No, you're stupid. No, you're not. But spiritually, we need to eat. And guys, people are like, well, you know, the Bible's an old book. It's not relevant for today. Now, let me help you with that. Spiritual things don't get old. Our culture has changed. Our nature has not. Man's nature is still the same. You know, we still deal with some of the same. If you read the Bible, you see where they had hate and they had bitterness and they had love and they had forgiveness and they had joy and they had anguish and turmoil. Man's nature has not changed. And so even though we have technology and now we have AI that can answer all of our questions and we have all of these things, but still that doesn't necessarily feed us spiritually. And we need to eat spiritually. I run across too many people who are just depleted. And when you're depleted, you are not able to fight. And if you haven't figured it out yet, life is a fight. And and if you think, well, life is, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord and life's going to be easy. No. It's not going to be easy. Well, when is it going to be easy, Alan? When you go to heaven? You heard the old story about the guy who went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I need you to pray that I never have any more trouble with the devil. The pastor said, all right. Laid his hands on him and said, Father, kill this man right here, right now. You don't want that. I don't want that. But we need to stay strong enough. So we're going to have to read his word. We're going to have to spend some time there. So his words to us, we just read this in Proverbs. Give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Jesus would say this repeatedly. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously, he's not talking about this kind of ears. He's talking about the heart and the ears to hear. And then it talks about, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's a heart to keep. That's intentionally keeping God's word in our thoughts and in our imaginations. Let me talk about this real quick. Keeping God's word in us is an answer and a solution to mental health problems. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it real bold. Keeping God's word in us is an answer and a solution to mental health problems. Because here's the deal. And I have been there. You say, well, you're just preaching. No, I have been there. And I have been in the depths of depression. And I've been there. And I know when you're in depression, you are in the dark. And you can't see anything good. But he said, if you don't let God's words depart from your eyes, you're going to begin to see something different. I love reading the Psalms. The Psalms are just, if you've never taken the time to read the Psalms, they are so good. And I was reading the Psalms the other day, and I hit this one, and man, I just loved it. It was Psalm 66, 16. It says, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. The psalmist said, Lord, your words are our comfort in my affliction. And so, again, remember I'm saying I see too many people depleted. When you're depleted and you can't see anything beyond what you're dealing with, you need light. The entrance of God's word gives light and it will help you. And I'm telling you, it is a solution to the mental health problems. People talk about, well, we got all these other answers. Listen, people have not solved the mental health problem. In fact, if anything, it's gotten worse. And so I'm just saying is this can help you. Say, well, that's, you know, and don't write me emails because I've already been there. I've been depressed. I've been so depressed I couldn't get out of bed. I've been so depressed that I couldn't see beyond tomorrow. I've been there, but I've also been delivered by God. And I can tell you what can keep you out of going there is putting his word in you so you stay strong enough on the inside to deal with that. So that's entrance of his word gives light And then the last one is believing in the end result, for they are what God's words are, life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, last 15 minutes, let me jump into this. I want to talk about protecting our inner life. Proverbs 4, because it goes on right here. Keep your heart with all diligence. That word keep means to guard. With all diligence. Diligence means you give some effort to it. For out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put a perverse lips. Now, what he's doing right here is we hear people say, guard your heart. This is how. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So let me go into this. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence. That's guarding our inner man, our inner life. We've learned how to protect our physical health. We've gotten better. I've been reading some of the, I read some of the combine, where they have all these athletes right now running NFL combine. And they're saying athletes are getting faster, athletes are getting stronger, athletes, and what they're saying is, over the years, nutrition and training has helped us, and our physical bodies have become stronger. So we're stronger. Listen, we're living longer. It used to be, you know, someone hit 65, they were old. I'm going to tell you something about 65. It ain't old.
I agree.
And I don't get old till I say I'm old. And then it's time for me to go. But we're living long. Listen, I used to think 65, some people are like, man, they're done. Now we got people just, listen, I'm not even old enough to run for president. Okay, here we go. It's going to be a long year, guys. All right. It said, out of the heart is the life source. It says, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Faith comes out of our heart. Love comes out of our heart. Strength comes out of our heart. Courage comes out of our heart. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man, the heart of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? How many of you know that when you've been broken and you've been brokenhearted, and I've talked with brokenhearted people, it's not just a mental thing, it's a thing. And when people are brokenhearted, there's not strength there. But when you're strong, he said, even when you're strong in your spirit, it can sustain you through a sickness. People are depleted because they don't nourish and they don't protect. Guard your heart. So let's, oh boy, y'all listen well. So let's, I won't run through it, but here's the first thing. First thing you want to guard is your words. To guard your heart, guard your words. How do you say, how do you figure that? He said, keep your heart with all diligence, so out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Guarding our words is something it's biblical. It's a spiritual thing. It's something where I know people have said it. I've jokingly said it, just saying. But our words are much more important than that. And there's death and life in the power of our tongue. And you understand that relationships can be built up or destroyed on words. And so some of the things we have to guard is guard our words. Now in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, look at this. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to believers. He's writing to people like us. He said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That word edification means building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That word corrupt is actually the same word where you get the word rotten or foul. Now people say, you know what? I came to the Lord and I stopped cussing. I actually am one of those. I used to cuss a lot. And when I was raised in a home, I never heard my mother cuss but once, and that was at me. And my dad never, I never heard him cuss. I cussed, but when I got saved, I stopped. And people say, well, that's good. But here's the thing. Now, listen, I want you to hear me real clearly on this. I think as a believer, it's not a good witness to cuss. Work with me here. It's not a good witness to cuss. But there are some words I think are worse. To call someone worthless, a waste, unlovable, hopeless. Those are corrupting words. I'm going to suggest you don't do either. It'd just be good. And listen, if you got a mouth that you got to keep control over, the Lord will forgive you, and He'll help you. Mm-hmm. He'll help you. How many of you can testify that you don't cuss near as much as you used to? Yeah, there's some honest people. There you go. You notice how I phrased that. All right, now listen. In that corrupt word, regarding. So you don't ever want to look at someone and go, you're a waste, you're worthless. Those are harsh words. Our words are supposed to build up and to bring grace to others. Grace is unmerited favor. How many of you know before you came to Christ, a lot of us needed a lot of God's unmerited favor in our life? We needed people to be gracious with us. And so we need to be gracious. Our words need to bring grace. There's too much division in our nation right now. We need to be people of grace, that we speak grace and we speak help. Where'd you go? I'm sorry, did I lose you? We can't have it here, guys, and we're not going to have it in this church. In this church, this is a place where we speak grace and grace, and we build people up. Way too much division, and Jesus said a house divided doesn't stand. And at least we can have that in the church. But listen, your words need to bring grace to others, but your words need to bring grace to you. That the words you say about yourself need to build you up. How you talk about your life, your relationships, how you are as a Christian. You need to stop saying things like, I'm just a lousy Christian. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth again. Don't ever say, well, you know, I guess I'm just cursed. Nothing works out in my life. I guess I'm just cursed. There's no grace in that. Those are corrupt words. Remember, we're talking about guarding our heart. You don't want to let your words be opposed to what God's word is saying, because that's not going to bless you. Words of grace will build you. Words of doubt and words that are opposed to God's word will deplete you. They're foul words. You would not go home tonight and open your refrigerator and go, this milk looks a little bit old. What's the date on it? Oh, it is December 23rd, 2023. You wouldn't go, well, it's in there. I'm going to drink it anyway. You ever drank foul milk? If I gave you some foul milk, I'd say, here, but let me bless you with some rotten milk. You would look at me like, what is wrong with you? Are you crazy? You're supposed to be my pastor. You're supposed to be nice to me. What are you doing? You wouldn't expect me to give you sour milk. You wouldn't expect me to give you rotten meat. And you wouldn't expect me to give you rotten words. So don't give them to yourself.
Amen.
Here's something that'll help you. For those of you who are over 50.
Amen.
Hear it. Yeah. Stop saying I'm losing my mind.
Amen.
Stop saying, well, you know. Stop saying I'm getting old. I can't. Listen, they've done studies that say that your memory doesn't have to leave you. What happens is we get self-fulfilling prophecy. Our words are death. We're speaking death words over ourselves. We need to stop, because it's depleting us. It's not helping us. And stop saying, I just can't ever live for God. I just can't ever do it. It's too hard. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's too hard. Why don't you start saying, the Lord's helping me, and I can live for God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are words that help. Stop saying, my family's just cursed. My family is cursed. We've always been cursed. Mama's cursed. Her mama's cursed too. Everybody in the whole family's cursed. We're just all messed up. We're a messed up family. We're just a dysfunctional family. We have fun with our dysfunction, but we're a dysfunctional family. Stop saying that. It may sound funny, but it's not blessing you. It's not ministering grace. It's not helping your kids. It's not helping you. It's hurting your heart.
Amen.
You still love me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Your words. Second one. Whew.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you need to guard your focus, what you're looking at. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. This is just such a great one to end on. 2 Peter 2:7-8. and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He's talking about Lot, who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was living in Sodom. And the Bible said that he tormented his righteous soul, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Guys, there's a lot of lawless stuff out there. The internet has opened the door wide to lawless stuff. And I realize it's going to get quiet, but I'm going to say it. Pornography will eat a hole in your soul. And you really need to stop. It's not helping you. It's adding to your weakness, and it's depleting you. Because it's tormenting. That word torment actually means to afflict, and it means to torture your righteous soul. And I'm merciful. I understand it. I understand that it's available. I understand it's out there. But I'm begging you, give it up. You say, well, I can't. I'm addicted. Well, we just talked about your words. And begin to say, the Lord will help me in this. And then here's the best thing. Whatever you feed gets stronger. Whatever you starve gets weaker. And if you man, just give it up. It's tormenting you. And that's not the only. It's not just pornography. There's just stuff out there that's blasphemous. It's horrible. And you don't need it. It's anti-God. And it's not helping you. Remember, I started this by saying I run across too many people who are depleted on the inside. They're not nourishing, and they're not protecting their heart. You know, here's the thing, since I haven't, after a while, Joy and I just don't watch much television. I watch sports, and we do have a secret, Joy and I have a secret pleasure. Are you ready? We actually like to watch the auditions of American Idol. I like it when they find these kids out of the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden they just stand up and sing. You're like, oh, that's just good. They can sing. That's wonderful. And I like that. Other than that, I just don't watch a lot of television. Now, here's the thing. If you don't watch a lot of television, and then you go and see a movie, all of a sudden you're hearing words just like, whew. And I remember just walking out going, I feel grieved on the inside. Now, if you just got used to it and you see it all the time, it doesn't grieve you. But if you stopped it for a while, it's grievous. And I'm just telling you, cleaner is better.
Amen.
And it's just about, we believe in eating clean, right? A lot of people are like, oh, there are some of you who would not put processed sugar in your mouth if they paid you. Because you're like, oh, no processed sugar. But yet you put something in your eyeballs that hurts your heart. And so this is real pastoral, and I love you, but I'm just telling you, if you're going to guard your heart, you got to guard your words, and got to guard what you're thinking about, what you're focusing on, and what's coming into your eyes.
Amen.
I'm your pastor, and I approve this message. So, now listen to me. If you struggle in some of these areas, this is a church that will help you. We have people that will help you. We have counseling that will help you. We have classes that will help you. We're here to help you, not condemn you. So I don't want anyone leave here thinking, well, he really got on this tonight. No, I am trying to help you because I have seen way too many depleted people. And when you're depleted, you become a target for the enemy. And he attacks. I've seen it. I've seen the enemy attack people, and marriages go to pot, and relationships and families get messed up, and it messes with people. And as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, I get very tired of it. And I'm tired of seeing God's people harassed and beaten and losing. And it doesn't have to be you, because our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who gave his life for us, redeemed us from all the work of the enemy, and we don't have to live under his thumb. There's always hope here. So I hope you hear a message of there's answers. I can come out of this, but I hope you hear the warning. I want you to be strong on the inside. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. You have been merciful, and you have been helpful. Lord, I pray right now, I pray, Father, for those who feel so depleted, just feel so depleted spiritually and just are struggling. And Lord, I thank you that you love them. You care enough about them just to change a whole Wednesday night for them. And I thank you for that. Father, I pray for those who are just struggling in their relationships and in their marriages and in their families. And I ask you for a peace in their heart and wisdom, and that you would put words in their mouth that bring healing and grace. Father, for those who are struggling with pornography and struggling with things that are just absolutely tormenting their soul, I ask you, Father, for your mercy on their life and the hope that comes from the Holy Spirit that they can live completely free. Thank you. Your mercies are new every morning. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I know it and he knows it. Or are you saying, I used to, but I walked away from God. I know that, but I want to come back. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. That's you. And you said, I want that to change. I want it to change starting tonight. We'll give you a chance to pray, to receive Jesus as Lord, to reconfirm that. And this is the start of something new. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you, slip your hand up real quick and wave it at me. Say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty, your courage. Great. Thanks. 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 Wonderful. Got you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. Maybe that's embarrassing for you. That's never our intent. But this is an opportunity to pray. I want you to pray this with us. We're going to pray it as a church family if you're online. You can by yourself pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Father, for everyone who prayed that prayer, for those who stepped out of darkness into the spiritual light, and for those who come back home, we rejoice with them. Thank you. Thank you for the lift in our life that you bring. And Father, we ask that you would continue to guide and direct them. And continue, Father, to pour your mercy and grace on them, and that we might support them as a church and help them on their path of following you. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.